Over the last four Wednesdays, we've aired our series, This Is Why It Matters. Students at George Washington Carver High School in New Orleans worked with WWNO education reporter Jess Clark and radio producer Eve Abrams to tell stories about the lives of people they've lost, most to gun violence. In the final episode of This Is Why It Matters, Jess and Eve take us to Carver High School.
Each week last spring, we gathered a group of students in an office in Carver's Mental Health Services wing. There's a big window, fluffy pillows, and it always smells really, really good. One morning, we gathered with the family of Jawan Bradley, a recent Carver graduate.
My name is Tammy Bradley, Jawan's mother.
Tammy is seated on the bright orange couch, and she's surrounded by a group of Carver students and her daughters, Shawanda and Kawanda Warren. Her son, Jawan, was shot and killed about 3 months earlier. And this is one of the first times she's talked about him since.
I'm like, Bug, I'll be back. We call him Bug. So that was his name. Everything was Bug. We didn't call him Jawan. So
it was like, many of the students in this room have lost someone close to them, too. A friend, a brother, a sister, a father. That's not unusual at Carver or any school in New Orleans. Research shows about half the city's youth have lost someone to homicide. As an education reporter, I wondered how school communities were bearing the weight of this loss. My co-producer, Eve Abrams, had questions too.
Why did you want to do this project?
I kind of get frustrated with how death is reported or not reported in the newspaper. I felt like it was always very little information about who was being killed, and it felt as though these lives weren't being valued.
Is there a moment in time that sticks out for you in the project?
There are a couple. One of them was really that moment after we had been in the room with Jawan's family for an hour, and I asked, what was that like for you, for everybody?
All the students said it felt good, but the most striking response came from Tammy, Jawan's mother. She said talking about Jawan took some weight off.
We've been sick, really, literally, real sick. I mean, just crying every day. I've never stopped. And it's just been on my mind. I just can't get past it. But I felt a little better because I was able to talk to these young ones.
Eve and I saw firsthand how talking about the people we've lost is healing. It was healing even for students who didn't know the person who died. The project also gave students a way to channel their pain into making something, radio stories, which wasn't easy. Months later, as students were finishing their projects, we sat down with them to reflect. Junior Marnisha Gilmore said it wasn't editing or writing that was hard. It was the emotional work.
I think the hardest part about this whole thing is me not crying. Because, like, I know it's okay to cry, but it's like when you think about everything that happened, it's like the stories keep replaying in my mind. Like right now, it's like I'm fighting back the urge to cry. Like, y'all can't see tears because I have lashes on, but yes, I'm fighting back the tears right now. But yeah, because it's like when you hear all these stories and you just think about all the memories and you like, they really not here no more. Like, they gone forever. And it's like, it's just people keep dropping left and right. It's affecting us, especially because now we're in 11th grade and this is the most stressful year for us. It's like we're about to be grown. We're about to have to go to college, pay bills and things, and we still feel like we're children. Like, we don't feel like, oh, we're grown. We still feel like kids.
That's a big, important takeaway. There's this narrative out there that children who have been through traumas aren't children anymore. We learned that despite all our students have been through, they still feel like kids at heart. And they are kids. Sometimes students feel they have to push down feelings to appear strong for their families and friends. Junior Kenneth Fairley says the death of his cousin and multiple classmates in recent years have forced him to act differently.
Situations changed me. Like, it's like, well, you can't go out here and say this and this to certain people because they might not take it the same way that you intended them to. So I'm like, well, now I gotta watch what I do, who I talk to, what I talk about.
To be clear, what Kenneth is saying is that he's realized, like many Black men and boys, the best way to stay alive is to start approaching every relationship, each interaction, with one question. Is this going to get me shot? and it makes him feel like he can't be himself.
It's like not what I was ready for, like, because I wanted to be like me this whole time.
Already this school year, 4 Carver students have been shot. 3 of them died. Kenneth's classmate, Ja'Cory Warner, has another strategy for staying alive. He tries to find safety by diving into very specific places to be himself.
I play football, so that's like my after school. So like after practice, I just go inside. Sometimes it's like I don't even know what to do. Like I be confused, like who next? But I don't even want to think like that because I'm young, you know. But you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I just be like, I just hope this don't be me.
These topics are tough to talk about, which is why we worked closely with the school's mental health team during our time at Carver. As journalists who were essentially embedded in the school, we witnessed the challenges students face, but also the challenges educators face, the trauma of losing students, and the stress of not knowing whether your students are safe. And then there's testing. Nearly every day we went to Carver, there was a student who couldn't meet with us because they had to take a standardized test.
It was shocking how often they had tests. I don't understand how kids are supposed to function and display their intellectual prowess on these tests when they're suffering from so much trauma. It just seems completely unreasonable. It seems like we're asking kids to be somewhere where we want them to be rather than meeting them where they are and attending to the needs that they have.
As an education reporter, I have to say that tests are useful as one measure for how well schools are preparing kids. But having spent a lot of time in a school during testing season, I more deeply understand the frustration of students and educators who feel constrained by tests. Here's another big change over the course of the project. When we first came to Carver, students were eager to talk, but didn't really understand what a radio story was, much less how to make one. But after a few months, when we asked them to lean into the mic and introduce themselves, this is what they said.
My name is Ja'Cory Warner. I'm 16. I'm a journalist.
My name is Kenneth Fairley. I'm a junior at George Washington Carver High School, and I'm an amateur journalist.
My name is Marnisha Gilmore. I'm 16. I'm a journalist and a dancer, and I attend George Washington Carver.
That was the final episode of our series, This Is Why It Matters, produced by Eve Abrams, Jess Clark, Marnisha Gilmore, and Kenneth Fairley, with support from Images and Voices of Hope and Do Good NOLA.